to the Arbitration Tongue Podcast, a hub where we discuss everything arbitration. My name is Peace Adeleye and I am your host. If you have not done so, kindly ensure to subscribe to this podcast to receive notifications of new episodes. Today we have a very interesting subject and it relates to the duty of disclosure on arbitrators. Today's episode borders on the issue of arbitrator's duty to disclose appointments in multiple related arbitrations. I shall be taking cue from the decision of the English courts in Haliburton and Schaub and be answering questions like, can an arbitrator consider or deliberate on repeat appointments in multiple arbitrations without disclosing same to the parties? And should this non-disclosure be a ground for his removal or the setting aside of any award made? Before we examine the crux of our conversation, it's essential to lay the major groundwork on impartiality and independence in arbitration. Arbitration is a private process. Accordingly, it is essential that arbitrators be seen to be independent and impartial. The responsibility of independence and impartiality does not just rest in international arbitration alone. In fact, it inheres in every form of dispute resolution. Accordingly, a decision maker must refrain from taking sides with any parties in the decision-making process. Now, understanding the centrality of independence and impartiality in international arbitration, most arbitral rules contain provisions requiring arbitrators to disclose circumstances that may impinge their independence. Over the years, there have been twined thresholds for determining an arbitrator's independence, and these thresholds differ based on jurisdictions. In America, under the Federal Arbitration Act, specifically Section 10, it is provided that an arbitral award may be vacated where there is evident partiality. Courts in America have interpreted the term evident partiality. In a decision, the court equated the term to mean the existence of dealings that create an impression of possible bias. In another decision, the court noted that evident partiality will be found where a reasonable person would have to conclude that an arbitrator was partial to one party to the arbitration. The second threshold that is commonly used in international arbitration is such that is tailored after the unsitual model law. Now, under the unsitual model law on international arbitration, arbitrators are required to disclose circumstances that are likely to give rise to justifiable doubts about their impartiality or independence. The duty to disclose is a continuing one, according that every time from appointment to the rendering of the final award, an arbitrator has a duty to disclose circumstances that may cast doubt or give rise to justifiable doubts as to its independence or impartiality. The International Bar Association Guidelines on Conflict of Interest in International Arbitration explains the term justifiable doubts to mean doubts which a third party who knows the relevant facts and circumstances of a case or who hears them would readily conclude that there is in fact a likelihood that the arbitrator may have been influenced by factors other than the merits of the case. Now, it's important to stress here that the significant term employed is in the guidelines, that's the IBA guideline, is the term likelihood. So there need not be the existence of such bias, but the likelihood of such bias. So the influence need not have occurred. All that is required is for the reasonable third party to have the presumption that a likelihood of bias may exist. Now, having laid this fundamental groundwork, I'll be diving into the case in Haliburton and Schaub. In 2010, an explosion occurred in the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig in the Gulf of Mexico. This explosion, which was attributed to the temporary abandonment of the rig, resulted in damages and eventually gave rise to varying arbitrations and claims. The United States claimed civil penalties under its relevant laws, and after the trial on liability, the federal court for the District of Louisiana apportioned liability between Transocean, BP Exploration, and Haliburton. Before the court in Louisiana delivered judgment on liability, Halliburton settled the claims brought against it and paid huge sums of monies. After paying the monies, it sought a refund further to an insurance policy it had taken with Chubb Bermuda Insurance Limited. However, Chubb refused to entertain the demand for payment. Consequently, Halliburton commenced an arbitration proceeding against Chubb. Unknown to Halliburton, one of the arbitrators appointed by Chubb, so in arbitration, there were three parties. One of the arbitrators was appointed by the claimant, while the other by the respondent, and then both arbitrators decided on the third arbitrator. So one of these arbitrators and the arbitrator whose impartiality was being challenged was appointed by Chubb. And unknown to Halliburton, this arbitrator had been involved in another arbitration relating to the same explosion. Upon becoming aware of this fact or the existence of this fact, Halliburton had written its concerns, had written to the arbitrator and expressed his concerns on his possibility or capacity to be impartial, and had advised that the arbitrator recalls himself from the arbitral proceeding. However, the arbitrator failed to recuse himself. Accordingly, Halliburton applied to the English court for the removal of the arbitrator, for that to the provisions of Section 24, Subsection 1A of the English Arbitration Act of 1996. The section requires the arbitrator to disclose the existence of justifiable doubts as to his impartiality. After determining the application, the English court refused to grant the application for removal and stated that a fair and informed observer would be unable to find that there was justifiable doubt to the arbitrator's impartiality because he was an arbitrator in other arbitration or arbitral proceedings which were arising from the same incidents. Now, Halliburton was dissatisfied with the judgment of the English High Court and appealed to the Court of Appeal. The Court of Appeal stressed the issue of while it appealed to the Court of Appeal, Halliburton tried to stress the issue of the real possibility of bias and the risks of unconscious bias in this case. Now, the Court of Appeal noted that while the acceptance of multiple appointments may raise valid concerns of bias, such acceptance without more cannot justify the existence of apparent bias. So the court noted that although the arbitrator ought to have disclosed the other arbitrations, a third party cannot infer the real possibility of bias. Also dissatisfied with the judgment of the Court of Appeal, Halliburton appealed to the Supreme Court. So the question is, what was the decision of the Supreme Court? We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the decision of the court. Very short break. So the question is, what did the Supreme Court say? The English Supreme Court noted that, or pronounced first, I need to state that the English Supreme Court pronounced on varying issues, but I shall only streamline it to our conversation at hand. That is the application for removal of Mr. Rockison. The court noted that once there are repeat arbitrations or appointments in overlapping arbitrations, there is the possibility of bias. However, the court noted that although Mr. Rockison had a duty to disclose, but at the time when the court heard the application for removal, a fair-minded and informed observer who was looking at the facts and circumstances of the case could no longer assess the arbitrator as having the real possibility or the real risks or bias. Now, this was a decision of the case, and it's raising varying questions. I find this decision very interesting and intellectually provoking, And that prompted my reason to have a discourse on it on this episode today. I thank the Lordship for their well-considered decision. However, I have two major concerns that I really want to briefly consider in this podcast. The first concern is, can there be a duty without a corresponding right? In the theory of dual relations, as we know in jurisprudence, where there is a right, there ought to be a corresponding duty. So if the court noted that there was in fact a duty of disclosure on the arbitrator, in this case Mr. Wilkerson, then the court foreclosed Albertson its right to remedy the failure of such duty. If Mr. Wilkerson had a duty to disclose and he failed to disclose, Halliburton had the right to ensure he's removed for failing to disclose. Moreover, the issue or the circumstances which he failed to disclose falls under the red list of the IBA guidelines. The IBA guidelines has three lists. That's the red list, the yellow list, that's the amber list, and the green list. From my analysis of the rules of the guidelines, I think that non-disclosure in this case fell under the red list, and its failure ought to have triggered his removal. The issue here wasn't his bias, but the likelihood of his bias. Albertin raised the issue of unconscious bias. The fact that he has decided, or he has looked at, or he has had the opportunity of hearing another arbitration on similar fact may have created certain impressions in his mind which cannot be seen. It may in fact not even be biased to either of the parties, but the question or the test provided under the unsuitable modal law, which is likely similar to the provisions of the English Arbitration Act, says the likelihood of bias. It doesn't have that bias doesn't have to have existed. But if there's a possibility of his existence, then the court ought to have removed him. But just the question is that under the varying rules, they are not straight rules on, or straight rules on if that is an automatic removal. And I think this is something arbitration rules need to work on. Now, the second point I wish to raise is the issue of the time. Now, the court in this case noted that it would only assess whether there have been a breach of the duty in the mind of a reasonable person at the time when he heard the application. Now, the court noted that yes, that there was a breach of the duty, but went further to note include another test when he held that at the time when the application for removal was heard, there was no real possibility of bias. Now, before I really state or analyze my view on this point, I would provide context by just reading out the provisions of the English Arbitration Act, that's section 24 sub 1A. It says a party to arbitral proceedings may, upon notice to the other party to the other parties, to the arbitrator concerned and to any other arbitrator, apply to the court to remove an arbitrator on any of the following grounds: that circumstances exist that give rise to a justifiable doubt as to or that give rise to justifiable doubts as to his impartiality. Now, the question that this arises is that what should be the proper day for assessing the existence of such circumstances that give rise to justifiable doubt? So, by the provision of the Section 24, it says yes, you have a right to approach the court to remove a person because there were likelihood existence of likelihood likely circumstances that gives rise as to justifiable doubts. In my considered opinion, all the court need to be looking at is, was there in fact the existence of justifiable doubts? Now, this is what the court did, but the court now noted that at the time when he heard the application, there was actually no real possibility of justifiable doubts. In my opinion, I think that the relevant date here should be the time when Albertin got wind of the existence of that justifiable doubt or the circumstances that triggered its application for its removal. So, the time when they got notice should be the relevant date when the court ought to have considered, because that was when the knowledge of the breach of such duty arose. Now, I know I've stated my views. I need to state here that notwithstanding my opinion or my opinions, because in this case, as I conclude today's episode, kindly note that the law as it stands at today, and as at today, as we take you from the English case, is that There may be circumstances when an arbitrator may have breached his duty to disclose, and such disclosure would not occasion a removal. Thank you so much for listening, and do also subscribe to the Arbitration Term podcast to get more analysis of arbitration issues. Have a nice day, or have a nice time.